You are listening to a message from Thrive Community Church, a church located in Southwest Florida. For more info, visit us at thrive-fl.org.
Sort of using that kind of boating imagery, what people are looking for, I think, is a rudder, a purpose, if you will, something that is going to guide their lives. An author by the name of Art Miller, in his book, Why Can't You Be Anything That You Want to Be, highlights this survey result. Here's the statistics. Only 13% of people in this country feel that the work that they're doing is meaningful. 13%. So that's close to 9 out of 10 people who are saying that they spend a major portion of their life in occupations and jobs that drain them of life and passion day in and day out, month in and month out, and year after year, decades, right? Now I will grant you that there are some things that we simply cannot control about ourselves. Things like our natural talents and abilities. For example, after playing high school football, I really wanted to play football in college, only to discover that I was the perfect size for playing soccer, which I did. While serving at my former congregation, we often joked that I had the perfect body for radio ministry. So obviously, we cannot be absolutely anything that we want to be. But what we can control, brothers and sisters, is the passion and the intensity in which we live out our lives in response to God's love and grace that He's given us in our Savior Jesus. That by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can control. So let me ask you, friends, what puts excitement in your life? What causes you to lay awake at night, not just the caffeine you drank before that? What gives you energy? What are you passionate about? Now, naturally, I think you can tell what people are passionate about because, you know, they talk about it all the time, right? It tends to be the thing that they are the most excited about telling you about. But really, what do we mean when we talk about and unpack this term, a person's passion? Well, if you look it up, there are actually 4 definitions, and the first has to do with our desire for a person of the opposite gender. The second is a zeal for some particular task. I mean, we can be passionate about pursuing something. The third way we use that word is in reference to a musical composition. I don't want to get too deep in these weeds, but it's voices and orchestras telling a sacred story, normally without costumes and scenery and all that kind of dramatic stuff. And then the last one, and after the release a number of years ago of the movie The Passion, which was done by Mel Gibson, we use the word passion in reference especially to the suffering and death of our Lord and our Savior Jesus, who did that for you and who did that for me. But the word passion itself actually comes from a Latin word, and it means suffering. Suffering. A Christian author by the name of Louis Giglier has a wonderful definition, I think, for the word passion, and it's this, quote, "The difficulty that we're willing to endure in order to accomplish the goal." Our Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel, it's John 10:10, if you want to write it down, look it up later. He says, "The deceiver has come. He's only going to want to do one thing, steal, kill, and destroy you. But I have come," Jesus says, "to give you life in all of its fullness, to give you life and give it more abundantly." You see, my dear friends, our Lord Jesus didn't come to give us some sort of just average, you know, whatever happened, sitting in front of the television kind of life. But a life that we could be passionate about. You see, once our Lord Jesus took away our sins and was and covered those that debt of those sins by his shed blood, and then promised to never leave us and promised us a home in heaven one day, what was left in between all of that, that's life. And our Savior knew that that life could be an abundant life. And so by God's grace, he placed you into a fellowship, into a family that we call the church. And his dream was that we could become a passionate community. A place where passion is not quenched, it's not snuffed out, but where passion could be breathed into and stirred up by the Holy Spirit working through God's Word, and that Word made visible in the sacrament. And so part of the adventure of living for our Savior is, friends, discovering and understanding how God, in his grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has uniquely shaped you with spiritual gifts and abilities and passions and personality and heart and experiences. All of that is your shape. And all of that can be used to serve God and to serve and love others toward Jesus. But we began by talking about passion, so we need to kind of unpack that part of how God has uniquely made and shaped each and every one of you for ministry. By the way, the Greek word ministry means serving. So just get that in the back of your head. God has uniquely shaped you for ministry, for serving both God to glorify him and to love and serve those that he's placed around us. Now, there are a couple of ways that we can identify passion, I think, in our lives. And one of those is just to sort of think to ourselves, well, what is it that I really care about? You may even want to write that down. What do I care about? What are the things that kind of leave me awake at night wondering or talking about? What are the things that make my heart beat fast? What gives me energy? And by the way, if you're having a hard time figuring that out, ask other people who know you what they see in you. What do they see that makes kind of you drive and makes you feel alive? When do they see what energizes or see you get excited about something? When do they see you sort of kind of wanting to talk about something a whole lot more? Well, that may actually be a good indicator or helping you find out what that particular area of passion is. And listen, you might actually be passionate about a number of things, and that's okay. And all of these are probably great. But I want you to stop, and I want to have you lay those against the passion that we see in the life of a guy by the name of the Apostle Paul. You know, if you examine the New Testament and the book of Acts and other places, the epistles, the letters Paul wrote, I mean, here was a guy who, because of God's grace on him, it turned Paul's life 180 degrees. And you see this, he was turned into this person who was passionate about pursuing God and pursuing the work that God had given him to do. To bring this good news about Jesus to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles, to everybody else, right? Now, if you remember, that transformational moment in Paul's life happened on the road that he was going to a city called Damascus. You can read about this. It's in Acts chapter 9, if you want to kind of remember that or jot it down somehow. Acts chapter 9. But I want to jump ahead in Paul's story. It's recorded in Acts chapter 20, verses 22 to 24. And this is Paul talking here. And this is what he says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Quote, "Now, compelled by the Holy Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what's going to happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and to complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given to me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." End of quote. Friends, can you imagine that? How many of us have ever seen someone living with a passion like that? To live knowing that Jesus had lived and died for his redemption, and then having received a gift of grace like that, that it overwhelmed Paul's heart. And so his heart's desire now was to offer his heart and his life back to the one who gave him life, to be used for God's purposes wherever he could be used, to be prepared and prompted by God to seek and to do his will. Yeah, I love this statement by the Apostle Paul. "I'm going to Jerusalem, drawn there irresistibly by the Holy Spirit. I am compelled to go, and I don't know what's going to happen to me there. I just know who's going to go with me. That there's a Savior who goes before me and a Savior who stands behind me, but one who is always, always at my side." And so the Apostle Paul followed where God led him. Now that's why the Apostle could say, "My life is now worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work that has been assigned to me by the Lord Jesus." This incredible work of telling others the good news about God's wonderful kindness and love to us in Jesus. Friends, here at Thrive, there are so many things that we can, I think, be passionate about. But when we have received God's grace and God's love and God's kindness, I think it's like everything else just kind of pales in comparison to that, doesn't it? I think that's what Paul is getting at. It's like anything else that we would give ourselves, our one and only life, this side of heaven too, is worth nothing compared to the work of sharing with other people this good news about a God who has grace to us in his Son, Jesus. I mean, ultimately, nothing else matters more because it makes a difference for eternity. Eternity is hanging in the balance. And when you understand that, everything else seems to diminish in value. But the question I think we have to wrestle with today as we unpack passion is, how is a passion like that grown? How do we stir it up and say, okay, God, look, I hear, you know, this kind of stuff. I really want to be someone who is passionate about you. I want to be someone who is passionate about drawing people to your love for them in Jesus. I want my life to count for something more that can actually make an eternal difference. I want to empower people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 1:6, the Apostle Paul is writing to his young friend, a young pastor friend of his named Timothy, who I think actually was probably struggling with this same kind of stuff. And Paul said this, "For this reason, I want to remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is already in you fan into flame your gift. And again, the Greek there, it's a picture of blowing or breathing on smoldering coals and causing them to, you all did barbecue, right? Over 4th of July? Yeah. Causing them to kind of reignite, to grow in their intensity, right? So let me ask you, brothers and sisters, how are you feeding that flame that God in grace has ignited in your heart? How are you fanning that flame? Part of that, I think, is allowing God to fuel our flame by his grace as he does that through his word. So I think part of the answer is how we make ourselves available for worship, for our own personal daily reading in God's word. And as I mentioned before, it's also that word of God made visible in the Lord's Supper. Are we communing often? And third, are we in a small group of brothers and sisters in Jesus who are challenging us in our walk of faith? Whatever the occupation we are in, that we are called to serve in, we are still the salt and light of Jesus there. Let people see Jesus in you. Let people hear about Jesus in you and from you there. But I also think part of this fanning into flame, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, that really there are only two ways that we can live. We can live by faith, or we can live by sight. Now, we can make our decision according to the, if you want to call them this, if you, the values or the priorities that we see around us, or we can live our lives according to our faith. Because we are citizens of God's kingdom. We are God's children. We've been loved and redeemed by our Savior Jesus. People whose hearts have been captured by grace. Captured. And because of that, we've become passionate about this Savior and about our God. And so by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have this sort of faith-inspired kind of way of living life abundantly. You see, that was God's plan for his people gathered together in this thing called the church. That was God's plan for his church. God's plan was to use us, his passionate people, to make his appeal to the world through you. For people to be reconciled to God, right? As much as it depends on you, urge other people. So the strategy that God has instituted way back in the book of Acts was to see this planet redeemed. Could have sent angels. They play in California. Not that well. Could have sent angels, but he called his church. You are the church. He called all of us to be a part of that. Is there anything greater that you at Thrive or we could or should be doing? So what are the things that you're passionate about, friends? Because they are so incredibly important. And so God has uniquely designed you to do things that only you can do with your life that are going to impact the church, impact his kingdom, impact his community, impact the people in the world. But here is what we are called to be. Here is what we're called to do. To relentlessly, relentlessly pursue knowing Jesus. Because I'm telling you, the more you know Jesus, the more you're going to love him. And the more you love him, the more you're going to want to live an abundant life with him and for him. And all God's people say, Amen.